this meeting officially open. We convening this morning to receive submissions on the third and fourth quarter expenditure reports on the Naledi school grants from provinces invited. We're supposed to be getting reports from three provinces, which is Limpopo, Northwest, and Western Cape. So with regard to Limpopo, I did speak to the administrator. As we all know, that the Department of Education in Limpopo is still under Section 101B. And precisely for the fact that we were there as a committee a week ago in Limpopo, and they did present a comprehensive report that covers this particular grant and all other grants. So we then agreed that they will just have to submit a written submission, because otherwise with them it would be the same presentation they did to us last week. So we didn't want them to incur unnecessary cost to come here. And I got an apology from MEC Mabi, she can't attend this one, from Northwest. She's attending the basic education budget vote, which I don't understand, because she's just going to sit there and listen to the vote instead of coming here and accounting. But it's for members to reflect on that apology. And the other apologies from the Director of Department of Basic Education, Mr. Bobby Subrayan. He's also attending, or he's tabling his strategic plan before the Standing Committee on Education this morning. But the CFO of the department will be here in terms of this apology. So those are the only apologies I have, honorable members. You can reflect and we move. Honorable Mashile.
Chairperson, the apologies, I think one needs to request the House to accept them. There is some sort of working relationship, I think, between the minister and the MECs for similar department, and one expects that they're supposed to give the minister the necessary executive support during the tabling of the budget. And I think if we have a person that would actually give us the specific report here which the MEC supports, and then I think it would do best. And what we need to appreciate as well is that the MEC has taken it upon herself to actually ensure that we receive an apology, unlike just staying away like her teachers. Thanks.
Any further comments? Well, honourable members, without waste of time, it's fine. We can, although I'm reluctantly accepting the apology from Northwest, because all what happens there, the MEC is just going to sit and listen to what the minister has to say. and go in the house and sit on the gallery and listen to the debate, nothing else. Officials of the department supposed to be here. I mean, if we are to talk of prioritizing one's work, this should be a priority. That's why I'm saying that I reluctantly would accept that kind of an apology. Personally, I don't accept it, but Honorable De Beer, we can deliver it quickly.
Chairperson, no, I don't want to waste time. Last year, we had the same situation when we dealt with the grant on libraries, referring to the Northern Cape, when the MEC didn't pitch up at this meeting in the same room. And we took a decision that no presentation will be listened to. So we must be consistent, but I take your ruling. These people must respect the constitution of this country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Without any waste of time, I will then take second on the agenda. I think it's we'll get a presentation from the National Treasurer, Mr. Sishi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for this opportunity. Thank you to the Honorable Members of the Committee. The presentation, as we have requested to do it, is on the Dinaledi Schools Grant, both the expenditure for both the third and the fourth quarters of 2012-13. In other words, basically the previous financial year. Just as a way of background to remind members, of course, this time last year we did a similar presentation in respect of progress since then, but just by way of recapping, the purpose of the Dinaledi Schools grant is to promote mathematics and physical science teaching and learning, to improve learner performance in mathematics and physical science in line with the Department of Basic Education's Action Plan 2014, to improve teachers' content knowledge of mathematics and physical science. So obviously there is an element there of making sure that teachers are able to teach. Secondly, the key outputs would include a number of things, but these are just a few of the ones that are listed in the conditional grant framework that was tabled as part of the Division of Revenue Bill before this committee. Maths and science textbooks for each learner in the Dinaledi schools, the maths kits, for instance, for geometry, etc. Mobile science laboratories, particularly in places, obviously, where there is a lack of infrastructure in certain outlying areas. ICT laboratories and equipment for Dinaledi schools that don't have them, as well as I said, the element of training teachers on the actual content is also important. The grant commenced in 2011, April. We had a strategy here where members will recall that because of issues with poor expenditure and conditional grants in the past, we sought to engage with departments, and one of the things they said to us was that they struggled with planning. So what we did was we telegraphed the introduction of this grant the year before it was actually going to be introduced. In other words, in the Division of Revenue Bill for 2011, the grant was there, but allocations only started in the second year. The idea was the department has a year to get its ducks in a row so that by the time money flows, they were ready. The strategic goal of the grant is to increase the number of learners taking mathematics and physical science with a special focus on female learners. Again, this is in terms of the plan and framework. Now, in 2011-12, when we did do transfers, the initial amount was 70 million rands. And about 61.5 million or 88% of that was spent at the end of that financial year. And there is the list of the 500 schools in terms of where they are located across the country. As you can see, as expected and as presented by the department last year, a lot of those schools are in Gauteng, KZN, and Eastern Cape, but there is a sizable number in other provinces such as Limpopo, Northwest, Western Cape, and Mpumalanga, for instance. Now, looking firstly at the third quarter, where were we at the end of December 2012? Against the total budget of 105.46 million, which included rollovers from the previous year, I must point that out. The spending by provinces at the end of December was at about 61% of the overall budget. In every instance, there was a significant improvement in expenditure in percentage terms compared to the same period last or the previous year. So you can see in the last column there, the presentation, the year-on-year growth is in very high percentages, simply reflecting the fact that there had been a pickup compared to the previous third quarter time last year. The reason why there's a calculation error under Mpumalanga was because the spending at the end of December 2011 by Mpumalanga was absolutely zero. So obviously the calculation, you know, produces an error because of, you know, it's calculating against the zero. But effectively, what we're saying there is that having spent absolutely nothing at the end of the third quarter of 2011, they had spent about 56.2% at the end of third quarter in 2012. So yes, a significant improvement there in terms of the spending. You will notice a slight, I'm sure people will ask about Gauteng. How does Gauteng end up spending 100% by the end of the third quarter? And you'll see by the next slide that it's still 100%. I'll speak more about that later, but it's because of the way in which Gauteng is paying for items on the grant, which has raised concerns, which we are trying to address with them because we're not satisfied. And I'll delve more about that, a little bit later. The next slide shows ultimately where we've ended up at the end of March in terms of expenditure. There is under expenditure on the grant of 19.2 million rands. A lot of that under expenditure is really in a few provinces. A lot of it is in Limpopo, where under 40% of the total allocation was spent at 39.8%. Free State also had challenges in expenditure, spending just 70.3% of its allocation. And then the other two provinces where we had difficulties was in Northwest, where the spending was 77.8%, and the Western Cape, where the spending was 48.2%. In fact, in respect to the Western Cape, we actually have had a deterioration in expenditure performance in that province compared to the previous year. As you can see in the last column there, it is a decline in percentage terms by the Western Cape Department of Education of 31% in expenditure year on year. So we're quite concerned about that. We have, I know the National Department has been engaging with the province over a period of time. A number of things have happened. Our sense was that it really was very, very difficult to sort out some of these problems, and it did end up at some stage during the year with monies being withheld from the province for a certain period of time. So there have been difficulties there, and I'll speak to the challenges in the ensuing slides. But before I get to those challenges, I think it's important that we also point out the fact that compared to where we were at the end of 2011-12, there have been a number of things that have been done during this past financial year, which I think it's important to note. The Department of Basic Education has created a dedicated Dinaledi unit during this past financial year in order to focus specifically on this particular program and also to address any challenges that arise with the provincial departments of education. Among its various responsibilities included, firstly, assisting and liaising with private partners wish to adopt or support a Dinaledi school. You all will have heard about the Adopt a School program, and that's part of the initiative that is being pushed from that side. And then secondly, to assist provincial departments with the implementation issues, in other words, the operational problems that arise in the course of actually implementing the program. there is an annual evaluation of the program that is required in terms of the Division of Revenue Act. We are awaiting that from the Department of Basic Education to be submitted on the 15th of May, 2013. That is the annual report, 15th of May, 2013, will be submitted to the National Treasury. It will deal with various things, amongst them the various challenges that the department and the sector as a whole is grappling with. I mean, some of the things that we are already aware of, and members will also be aware of this, and so forgive me if it seems like I'm repeating things you already know. But it is important to note the fact that we do have this problem in the country that a number of learners have this perception that because maths and science are so difficult, they tend to avoid it in the planning their higher education or their more senior secondary schooling. And so part of the work is, and this is very much a long-term thing, you can't do it in a year or whatever, it's about changing the mindset and the perceptions of learners that maths and science is not just important, but maths and science can actually be enjoyable, and that it can be difficult, of course, but that is by no means impossible to master. Secondly, that we do have this issue of the poor skills of teachers to actually teach the subjects. And this is something that's come to the fore in recent times with the release of the assessment results, etc. The Department of Basic Education has, to their credit, come forward and said, this is the situation, it's a bad situation, but we're not hiding it, and that's what it is, and now we can start from having understood where it is, how we can move on from that. I mean, since the program started, there has been various initiatives through bursaries, etc., to skill those teachers, if I can use that word, in order to try and address the problem. But absolutely, we've got a problem with the poor skills of a number of teachers to specifically teach math and science, particularly those two subjects, is a challenge. Finally, there are indications certain provinces need to have a better management focus on the program, because we think, certainly from National Treasury's view, and this has been our sort of feedback in our engagements both with the department as well as with the provinces, we believe that a number of the implementation challenges that are arising out of this program are very much avoidable because they speak to certain issues with respect to the way our managers are managing the department. In this past year, on average, the sort of difference between where Dinaledi schools are in terms of performance and other schools has been about 10%. But I think we can acknowledge that, you know, we want to make that much higher than that. But there is some difference in terms of performance in Dinaledi schools in maths and science compared to ordinary schools, which speaks obviously to the specialist nature of what we want to do with the Dinaledi schools. Now let me go then to the challenges that we are very much, from a Treasury perspective, focusing on, given the link they have as it relates to the financial matters, both us and provincial treasuries. The first one, which is really a big and vexing issue that we've raised over a period of time, is the procurement processes and supply chain processes have various different kinds of outworkings in them. Firstly, there was a decision taken that provinces need to procure from service providers identified by the national department. So even though there are obviously procurement processes within each provincial department in line with the PFMA and Treasury regulations, the identification of the service providers, it was decided by the sector, will be done by the national department. We understand that for some reason the Western Cape has had some difficulties with this arrangement. I'm sure they'll speak to it themselves. But also they've, you know, as they've gone on, sort of spent poorly. Things have just really moved very, very slowly. And as a result, there's been quite poor spending in that province. But also there's another type of problem in the area of supply chain management, and that's as it comes to the actual skills in the provincial department to actually manage the procurement process. Now, obviously, remember that when a new program is introduced, typically what happens is the same people who are running the general procurement of the department are the ones who are used to run the procurement for that program as well. So if you arrive with a program and there's a foundation of poor skills in place in the department, that program is going to suffer. Doesn't necessarily mean to say that the program is bad or the program is failing, but it simply means that the institutional foundations on which the program is landing are causing the program to also suffer. And we've seen that, particularly in Mpumalanga and the Free State. We started engaging with those provinces. I and a team of people have been to both provinces in the last 2 months to try and start dealing with the issues of the supply chain. But of course, as members will be aware, we do now have a chief procurement officer, office that we've established in the National Treasury, and part of the work is going to be about how do we solve or deal with these issues that have been going on for far too long with the supply chain problems in departments, both at the national level, but in this context within provinces. Now, the issue with Gauteng, as an example, where they're showing 100% expenditure very early in the year, is that they're transferring money to an external service provider, and they're transferring it and showing full expenditure on their estimates, purely on the basis of the fact that they're transferring this. We've started engaging with the province to say to them that this is not acceptable, because even if they're using an external service provider, we need to get an accurate report of what that service provider is actually doing. And part of the difficulty, and the national department may be able to speak to it as well from the provincial department, is that between ourselves and the provincial treasury, we've struggled to get accurate reports of what this particular service provider is doing. So, you know, we haven't gotten to the point yet where, because this is sort of the first year where we're grappling with this issue in the way that we are, well, we don't want to get to the point where we're withholding funds because of non-cooperation, but we want to see after the 15th of May, when we see the report, whether or not we are getting a better sense of what's happening in Gauteng as well as in Mpumalanga on what these service providers are doing. After we see that report on the 15th of May, we will then make a decision about any further action to take in respect of making sure that that particular issue is sorted out. But that is why, particularly Gauteng, is showing 100% expenditure. They're using the external service provider, and they're transferring the money in advance. We are addressing that particular issue. And then finally, the point that I made earlier, we are of the view that issues such as, for instance, the supply chain problems are avoidable and solvable. You know, the supply chain, notwithstanding the fact that we are doing things on our side to provide support, particularly through the Chief Procurement Office, the supply chain problems in departments are solvable in the sense that if a department has poor skills in its supply chain units or processes, that is within the ambit of the head of that department to solve that. The head of the department as accounting officer has full authority to take decisions to put in place the right skills in his or her unit in that particular department. There's nothing hindering the HOD from doing that. And also, if there are issues in respect of capacity, in other words, people are not there, again, the head of that department has full authority to hire people and fill those vacancies. So there's, you know, that's why we're saying that notwithstanding the fact that we are providing support on the one hand, we mustn't lose sight of the fact that there's management issues here that can be brought to bear to solve these problems. And part of what we're doing when we're engaging with provinces is to say to them that even though we're doing these things, the fact is that in terms of the existing laws, legislation, regulations, you have the responsibility to actually resolve some of these blockages. You can do a diagnostic, find out where the obstacles are, get your officials to solve these problems, because some of these things are very much management issues. But of course, from our side, we are providing that support notwithstanding. So, Chair, I think I'll leave it at that, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Mr. Sishi, honourable members, any questions for clarity, honourable De Beer?
Chairperson, no, it's not a question. I'm just looking at page of slide 6. The annual evaluation of the program is expected from the department on the 15th of May. But that report be also submitted to this select committee on appropriations.
Mm.
And that the department be called to deal with that report. Secondly, Chairperson, what Mr. Sishi just said is unacceptable, that the province transfer 100% of the funds to a service provider, fold its hands and don't report anymore. Then you're transgressing the PFMA. And then there must be a consequence. That report referred to in slide 7 is expected on the 15th of May, Chairperson. I propose that those provinces appear before this committee as well, that we crack the whip in terms of the relevant regulations. To the department, I don't know who's here from the National Department, but referring to the skills of teachers on subjects like maths and science, just a basic thing in training, when you are lecturing people, you have to evaluate yourself and stand in front of a camera. Then after you've done your lecture, you go and evaluate yourself, looking at yourself. That's what they do at university. And maybe there must be a fourth year brought into the curriculum of training teachers. Not 3 years, but 4 years. And the last year is what they call the higher education diploma. After you get your degree, you do a fourth year. And after you've done your fourth year, it's like a medical doctor doing his medical practice, practical year, his or her practical year. It's the same principle, that you are much more qualified to stand in front of a class, and that we look at the foundation phase to create a culture for maths and science. That's where our focus must be. Not the result in 12, grade 12. Yes, that's important, but where do you start with ECD and grade 1, 2, and 3? Because even in ECD, the equipment the children are playing with, one block plus another block is two blocks. That's part of maths. I visited ECD centers in my constituency, 15 of them, the past 3 weeks. So I just want to make that input. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, Chairperson, thanks for the report, I think, from Treasury. Just, you know, to really ventilate this particular matter of Gauteng, and I'm sure the similar tendency was with Western Cape, I think, on libraries and all that, that they just pass the money to others and then and report as money spent, and when it has not actually delivered anything on the ground. And we have been talking about this, Chairperson, I think, for quite a long time. I remember, I think, it may be about 3 years backwards when we started raising this particular matter. Now I'm a little bit worried that we are being turned into a talk show, and because surely if you speak to a department on a particular matter, and then comes 12 months down the line, then we still talk the same thing exactly as it was 12 months back.
Yes.
Surely it can't be correct.
Mm.
It can't be correct. And on this specific matter also, I really need to really call upon National Treasury to really look deep into the provincial treasuries. What the hell are they doing, actually? What are they doing? And the provincial treasury in Gauteng, when they see this 100%, then what is their response? How do they react to it? Are they saying that it's efficiency? Do they even worry about what is delivered, Andre? Surely, I'm really having a serious problem. I mean, it's the same thing is with Western Cape Provincial Treasury. When Western Cape doesn't spend the money, what are they saying? What are they saying? I mean, why should they say no? The National Council of Provinces will do this particular matter. National Treasury will worry about it. But what is their job then? And I really have a problem. You know, it's the tendency that we are seeing from this particular department. Of course, with a possible non-committal to oversight by our provincial treasuries. I really pick up in that particular sense, Chair, that if our provincial treasuries as well were up to speed with what they're supposed to do, we wouldn't be having some of these naughty problems that we are having, because this really is not serious problems that are that you can really say it is a structural problem or whatever. This is just purely internal management, administrative problems. People sitting in their desk but not doing what they're supposed to do, finish and clear. And this is the problem that we are having, Chair. I think we really need to also talk hard to National Treasury. They must actually try and get their provincial treasuries also to really do what is supposed to happen, and then communicate it to the premiers as well to ensure that these departments also respond to things correctly. We can't talk one and the same thing all the time. I mean, we have been here since 2009, and we are not talking anything different to these departments. I'm sure we're still going to hear exactly the same things that we have been hearing for the past couple of years, which are not really excellent things. I mean, if we hear good things, that's what we expect. We can hear it for 5 years during our term. But to hear the same excuses for 5 years, surely something is not right. We may be turned to a talk show or something. And surely some of us will not be prepared to sit here for talk shows. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Liz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Some of the points I wish to make have been made, so I won't repeat myself. But, Edgar, Mr. Sishi, in terms of the other two provinces that have underspent, you haven't given us any real report on those. I'm referring to Limpopo and North West. Do you have any comment about those? I think the Western Cape, clearly we need to listen to what they have to say and the Limpopo, before I question North West, are not here. But if you could give us some guidance there. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think we, you know, in the report, we have tried, as usual, to be upfront with the committee about the challenges, not to hide them, and to say that there are problems. And I want to agree with Honourable Mashidi. We do have a problem with provincial treasuries, a number of provincial treasuries in the country. What I can say is that in acknowledging that we have this problem, we launched a capacity building and support program for provincial treasuries specifically. I was chairing a financial management improvement process just this last month, where we're trying to, well, not trying, but we are doing, we've gotten certain treasuries to basically go through almost like a remedial recovery process. What we've done is we've sent a number of our analysts from the National Treasury to those provincial treasuries to do a diagnostic, to diagnose why is this provincial treasury not able to fulfill its duties in terms of the PFMA, because that's the problem. There's duties that the PFMA says a provincial treasury must do A, B, C.
So if those things are not happening, then we've got a problem. So we've done a diagnostic. Obviously, it's a phased approach because, unfortunately, you know, you can't do everyone at the same time, or we don't have quite enough people to do everyone at the same time, but we will do it over a reasonable period of time. We've already gotten three provinces, provincial treasuries, to come on board what we're calling an FMIP 3 program, which is funded by donor funding from the European Union. And we've put together a terms of reference diagnostic document, and we're identifying specific projects. At some stage, it would probably be useful, Chair, at some stage, perhaps for us to give more details specifically about that so that we can at least keep the committee apprised of what is being done to address issues with respect to provincial treasuries, because we agree with you. There are problems in a number of treasuries in the country in terms of their responsibilities in the PFMA, and we need to do more to get them to actually start performing in terms of Section 18. So there is you've got our full agreement on that one in respect of that issue. Well, so far, yeah. So far, we've completed diagnostics in terms of references for the for KwaZulu-Natal, Northwest, and Western Cape. Now, you know, there's various issues there that I don't want to get into in terms of the technicalities, otherwise we'll be here for a while. That's why I propose that at some stage that we can come back and give more detailed feedback to the committee about exactly that specific program so you can see what exactly is being done as it relates to provincial treasuries in particular. But something is being done because we recognize that we've got a problem in that particular area, and it's been going on for a long time. It's been going on for too long. On the issue of Limpopo and Northwest, the question by Honorable Lees, I mean, on Limpopo, some of it, I suppose, was addressed in the hearings up in Limpopo, but the problem with the grant is because, not the grant, it's because of the department. So what's happened is that the poor spending on the grant, and if you look at all the grants in Limpopo, you'll see that actually they're all underspending. So, and really just to repeat what we said back then was, there are certain capacity problems in that department when it comes to supply chain management. There are also issues in that department, or there were issues when the intervention started, about the regularity of the supply chain processes as it relates to compliance with the PFMA and Treasury regulations. People were doing funny things, and we made a decision when we arrived there that, you know, there's going to be investigations, there's going to be inquiries. Now, obviously, when you do an investigation into a process, the unavoidable short-term consequence of doing that is that certain things will slow down and in some cases even come to a stop. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to say, I'm trying to fix a system that is bleeding resources. And by doing that, you know, there is this short-term consequence. And that really is the reason in the book. It's as simple as that. That the problems in that department that have festered over a number of years that the interventionists tried to resolve are really the foundation of why this grant and the other grants really are underspending. Northwest is Northwest is a bit of a problem. we really are having to grapple with Northwest as the province chair. That's why we're happy that Northwest is part of this financial management improvement process, because Northwest has a range of problems. You know, one can go into them, and they range from problems in the provincial treasury, problems in departments. The fact that, okay, let me start with the provincial treasury. You've got a provincial treasury that hasn't had a permanent head in almost 3 years now. And you've got people acting, and it's not even stable acting. The person who's acting now was not the same as the person who was acting last year. So you've got these kinds of things. Similarly, in education as well, leadership problems, instability in senior management, et cetera, et cetera. During the last year, I believe Honorable De Beer was at the last budget council, perhaps yourself, Mr. Charney.
But at the budget council that happened sometime last year in November, after that, we took a decision that we are going to address these issues with the MEC at the time to say that these are really the problems in North West, and we appeal to the Executive Council to assist with these things because HODs are appointed by the political leadership, and you can't have a situation where the leadership is so unstable as you have had in North West. The consequence of all this is that, let me put it like this, if you've got a supply chain process and somebody has advertised the tender and they want to avoid award a contract, and that must be signed by a head of department because that's what PFMA regulations require, that it is the accounting officer that signs, then that person somehow moves or whatever happens to them, I don't know, but somebody else comes in and that person says, no, stop everything. I don't understand what's happening here. Brief me again. And everything gets delayed, etc. And that really is, that really is what happens in Northwest, and it's been happening for a number of years. Also another vexing issue. So those are the reasons, really, in those two provinces, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sishi. Honourable Liz.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick follow-up. Thank you very much. Ms. Sishi and I had the discussion about service delivery hiccups in Limpopo, so I won't go into that. We do differ somewhat on that one, but the point really I want to make is that I needed Mr. Sishi to talk about Northwest to illustrate the political issues in that province and the implications of not having the MEC here. And so, Mr. Chairman, I know we've accepted the apology and we're going to listen, but I'm not sure that we're going to achieve too much, having heard what Mr. Sishi has said about Northwest. Thank you.
Honourable Joseph.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think the previous speakers have confirmed, and Mr. Sishi, that the Treasury in the other provinces...
Yes.
Which in Limpopo that we visited is also an administration, which is an example of why they're not able to guide and direct the other departments on financial management, because Treasury themselves is an administration in that province, which is a big concern. But I think I want to come back to the earlier point raised about the perception and coming back to the foundation phase, as the other members have raised. And I want to know what is the funding proposal for future, preparing future leaders in the educational capacity in the foundation stage, because we there is a certain criteria or expectation, you know, to bring the basics back to the foundation phase. Now, if we do not focus on that in terms of educational capacity, it's not just people looking after children for the day to get them through and let them play and do a few sums. I think it's there that the future. Leaders must be prepared on the foundation phase, then it will be less problematic in the later stage of the careers. Thank you.
Honourable De Beer, your hand was up.
Chair, just to sensitise the honourable members, on the 14th and 15th of May, the Select Committee for Finance will be having the provincial treasuries before the committee, and these issues can be taken to that meeting as well, regarding the reporting, etc. Limpopo we dealt with 2 weeks ago.
Mr. Sishi, thank you. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I mean, I don't, in terms of the foundation phase, I mean, I don't have all the numbers in front of me because obviously it was not necessarily the brief for this meeting, but Honourable Members will be aware from the presentation of the budget as well as the Division of Revenue Bill. During February and the beginning parts or middle parts of March, that we have added considerably to the budgets of early childhood development for provincial departments of education, as well as to ensuring that grade R teachers are in place and they're properly remunerated. I think there's been a positive step both from our side as well as from a budgeting perspective on the provincial side. If you look at provincial budgets for 2013 MTF, you will note that probably the fastest growing item of the budget is early childhood development. So there is a recognition in terms of the policy and the planning that in fact this is the area where resources need to be injected. Obviously, the next question is the implementation must now happen. So obviously we've put the money in, and there's quite a lot of money there, and the growth rates are very, very high because of the, you know, the big injections. But, you know, it now is a matter of over the coming period for that to actually start having the impact, and that's something that we will obviously be monitoring carefully. And, of course, the National Department of Basic Education will play the lead, as the leader, as it were, of the sector. But certainly we have injected quite a lot of resources into early childhood development in the country.
National Department, I'm sure you are largely covered by the input from National Treasury, but any comments from yourself?
Thank you very much. I was just saying the department has got a four-pronged approach called CAWI, which means C stands for the curriculum, A for the ANA, annual digital assessment, the W stands for workbooks, and I stands for infrastructure. So in terms of the building the foundation at a lower level in schools, the results of the annual national assessment surveys are used to say in your grade 3, grade 6 classes, if these are the issues that need to be addressed, then we will have a tool that tells us that we need to get resources in math, science and technology, and that's what the fund is doing to make sure that we don't only look at grade 12 results, but also how do we start earlier in a child's 12, 13-year career at the elementary and the primary school level through our annual financial assessment intervention. So that is being taken care of in that regard, to say the time has come that we don't only look at the grade 12, but say a product at year 12 and 13 is what it would have looked like at inception at the beginning stages. Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm not sure whether maybe I was asleep. I was not aware that the Department of Basic Education is present in the room, and I would have actually really made very clear to them that surely these particular monies, as we are allocating for the Naledi schools, need to be utilized properly. And for this money to be utilized properly, they've got a very serious role to play. Now, this particular intervention on the Naledi schools, as it has been explained, needs to be inculcated from the foundation phase. The same principles, even though that at the foundation phase may not be under the Division of Revenue, but the principles must be applied there, so that we break this cycle that we are trying to intervene on the higher levels. The question now is, what is there that they are doing to do that? The training that is being given to educators at the higher levels for purposes of actually functioning at the Naledi schools, is that happening at the foundations? The same principles under normal budgeting, so that we break, because, I mean, we have to get... We have to exit this Naledi program, because on its own it is discriminative. If we have to say some other few things, it's highly discriminative, because these schools are getting more resources than other schools. We have to exit the program, but the principles must be applied right through the whole education side from the bottom. What is there that we are doing as the Department of Basic Education. We really need some time here to actually get a report. What is it that they are doing from the foundation phase in line with the principles that are being applied on the Naledi schools, which is now said to be producing 10% more than ordinary schools on the passes of maths and science. And then we need to upgrade on all schools. We must get better results on all schools, which means the principles then must be escalated to all other levels and phases. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. Members, let's take question, Cape.
Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to reflect on our performance. May I say that the situation in the Western Cape as at the financial year end is, as you said, we spent 48%, but I must add that we had commitments in the pipeline as at the 31st of March 2013, with orders placed and delivery in progress of some 3,269,976 rand, which takes our actual and committed expenditure up to a total of 82.1%, which leaves an unspent balance for rollover approved by provincial treasury of some 1,716,000 or 17.9%. Brian Schroeder, who is Deputy Director General Curriculum and Assessment in the WCED, will give you a full account as to why we had a delay in terms of our expenditure for the financial year ended March 2013. All I can say is we've learned from the process and that we are fully prepared to ensure that our Dinaledi grant is spent 100% through the right channels without outsourcing it to second parties in the 2013-14 financial year. Thank you. Sorry, can I just add one issue? I fully appreciate that this is a Select Committee on Appropriations, but the Select Committee on Appropriations should also look at the results of the ANIS in the foundation phase. They should also look at the results in the grade 12s, and you will see the Western Cape Maths and Science marks and the percentage passing, writing and passing, has increased quite dramatically in the last 2 years. And if you look at the NEDU report for literacy, which none of the honourable members have alluded to yet here this morning, look at the performance of reading in grade 3 from the NEDU report. And in our term of office, we have focused a lot of our attention on the foundation phase because of our assessment of the need to rebuild the entire structure from foundation phase upwards. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, members. Thank you very much. Just to again say that the Western Cape has 46 schools. We have an allocation of 48 in Dinaledi. Two more need to be added, but we are carefully selecting those schools in the process of selecting schools that meet the requirements of the grant. We have 46, and we're fully committed to uplift the performance of maths and science in those schools, and we have over the number of years. The presentation, we believe, will give you an understanding about why there was a delay this year. It will also indicate to you that we have a good record of spending over past years. We spent 99.5% in the previous year, whilst Treasury had indicated that in this past year we are 30% down on the previous year's spending, and that there had been a retention of some funding for a while. That funding was released when we gave an explanation of the reason for the delays in the process. In the presentation before you, the first slide gives you what you know. It's just for background information and completed information. You know the strategic goals, and you know the grant purpose to which we are also committed in doing so. We believe that the Dinaledi schools must be utilized because of access, particularly to learners who have not had quality education in the past, but that also all our schools, as the member indicated just now, must be uplifted. And so it is a unified process that we follow, with a particular focus on Dinaledi schools to enhance access to quality maths and science that learners have not had in the past. If you take a look on the second slide, we indicate there, for example, that in the 11-12 year, the Western Cape received a 6.7 million conditional grant. 99.5% of that funding was spent. In the 12-13 year, it was 9.57, and all funding was eventually transferred, and that was transferred due to our engagement and reporting on the reasons for our slow spending and delay, which I will share with you as we go forward. 13-14, that grant is just over 10 million. Transfers will commence shortly, and our plans and business plans are in place, and our operational plans are in place to ensure that that happens. You did ask about reporting. We do have regular monthly reporting, and I'll say a little bit more about that. There's no challenge with our reporting processes. On slide four, to say that prior to this last financial year, we had a procurement system whereby we transferred our money to the schools, and those schools then procured according to their specific needs within the framework of the Dinaledi grant. That's different to the example that was mentioned, for example, in Gauteng, where the transfer is to a service provider. It was transferred to schools. There were many advantages to that process. One of the advantages was that procurement could be local, where there are local resources available. Secondly, we found that there was financial gain. The utilization was often cheaper than through a central or a national procurement process. And Treasury made some reference to the fact that the Western Cape had some challenges with the national companies. We don't have a principal challenge to that. But if it costs us more and we are able to deliver less on that process, or if the companies are in Gauteng and there is a time delay in delivery to the Western Cape, it's something that we believe can be resolved and needs to be addressed slightly. The advantages also to the process of transferring funding to schools was schools would then purchase and procure locally exactly what they needed in where appropriate. That didn't apply to IT, for example, and computer labs. However, there were also challenges with that process, which I'll speak to you in a minute. In 2012 then, in June of 2012, we held a meeting with our schools because that was still the procurement process, informing them that that was the process, what the amount of money was that was allocated to them. They were informed how the funding would be transferred to them because that was the process by which we had followed in previous years. We indicated that they had to procure the goods and services according to their individual needs within the conditional grant framework. We also gave them guidelines and prescripts about what they needed to do. They were aware of the quotation process, for example, three quotations, and the reporting mechanisms that had to happen. However, in June of last year, the Auditor General also made comments on the process of transfers of funding to schools. One of those processes was that there could be evidence of some schools that were unable to follow the correct procurement procedures. For example, they were unable to prove that they had had three quotations for their tender process. And with those risks that the Auditor General, the National Auditor General, in his report had identified, it indicated that we needed to consider a different way for procuring on the Dinaledi grant. And so a decision was taken in July of 2012 by the Exco of the Western Cape Education Department that we would change the process to a more fully accountable procurement process that we centrally procured, partly in line with what National Treasury had indicated, that it should be nationally approved service providers. This was a strategic decision to ameliorate the risks that were identified by the AG and to ensure a clean process. And as I indicated, the risks in transferring money to schools that were opposite to the advantages of more for your buck. The risks included school procurement, which was not following the prescripts in some instances, and the ability to monitor and control, which was also not in all cases necessarily correct. So this meant then that the whole procurement process in July and August of last year had to be redone, because schools had already moved in terms of what they thought would be the suggested procurement process. That procurement resulted in schools needing to submit their lists of requirements. We then followed the process after information meetings, etc., monitoring, checking, and collating those lists centrally so that there can be a consolidated list. It was then found that schools had to redo their procurement because the cost of the items when we go out on a central tender is more expensive than what they could have procured it for at a local tender. And the consequence of that was further delay in finalizing the whole process. Eventually, by November of last year, those processes were in place, and our supply chain management was not able to deliver all the procurement processes according to the tenders by the end of the financial year. This is one of the reasons why at the end of the third quarter there was almost no spend. You remember the conditions of the conditional grant? A large, almost the whole amount is for procurement in this particular year. There's also part for training, etc., that's associated with that. But large amounts is for procurement. And the delays in the procurement resulted in low spending end of third quarter, which of course raised concerns also with National Treasury and also with the DBE, and we explained what the reasons for that was. You will see that at the bottom of slide 6, the delays in, that were incurred in schools and also the districts which then had to collate it, part of this allowed us greater conformity and uniformity in specifications that had to be done. And so schools would specify, for example, certain equipment, but that specification was not not the necessary specification to put into a consolidated list and had to be refined. And it was quite a tedious process. There was also a special program because one of the items of the NALEDI is ICT equipment. Special project plans for ICT and special procurement processes for ICT through DITCOM, etc., have to be followed. And that was on top of the other processes of further delay. In the case of infrastructure projects, part of the NALEDI is infrastructure, and those infrastructure were related to IT, cabling, securing, burglar-proofing classrooms that had IT equipment in laboratories, etc., furniture counters, etc., were, and air conditioning that had to be in there in about half of our schools. That was part of the procurement process last year, and those all took added time and longer time. So basically, the delays that were caused this year, in contrast to our previous year's normal business processes and adequate spending, resulted in the slow spending processes. We have indicated to you that by the end of the third quarter, only 4% was spent, but it was also so that by the end of the fourth quarter, 48% was spent. That is also in the National Treasury documentation. But there's a further 34% that had already been committed in orders that were not able to be delivered on time. Those will be spent within the next 2 months. The only challenge is that, as you would know, that rollover funding, whilst indications are given that it might happen, is only actually finally approved in the appropriations bill around about October of the year. And therefore, planning for the utilization of rollover funding has to be kept in abeyance until that approval is formally given. And it's quite late in the year. We believe, though, that we will manage that process as soon as that approval is done. On slide 9, you have a summary of the spending in 11-12. I'm not going to reiterate that. If I can just get to that slide, it's that one. You will see that in the 12-13, the spending patterns by the end of the third quarter and the end of the fourth quarter indicated, the commitments indicated, and as the MEC had indicated, the amount that is not. You also asked in the document for a briefing on capacity constraints and management ability. There are always capacity constraints, but it's not insurmountable in our case. We have human resource challenges always. There's limited administrative support. We have a small personnel group who manages and monitors the NALEDI group, but there are also advantages to that. It means that you have a specialist group that monitors it, and so it's dedicated time and staff. But it is a component of two people only. Part of the challenge is that if you have a large number of schools, as also the case with other provinces, actually monitoring and controlling what each school does is a very time-consuming process. We are supported in the districts, in our eight districts, by an official that collates and helps monitors and check. We did find, though, that another delaying factor was that schools now needed to use a new procurement system that they'd not used in the past. They were informed of that only in July or August in the year, and there were a number of schools that struggled to have those lists then finalized, and there were delays in their submission of the documents as well. And they needed to change their business plans. I think that aspect of the monitoring capacity is clear to you. We don't want to dwell on that. It is manageable within our department. You did ask about the supply chain management. Supply chain management in our department is always under stress, as I think in all departments. But they are a dedicated and a specialist group of people. The challenge comes when there is a confluence of requirements that come about at the same time. And it's always the case at the end of the year. October, November is a heavy year. December, January are dead months. BAS closes down, for example, in that time. You can't affect payments in that time. It's a challenge, really, in the entire year cycle where we ought to have 12 months of free ability to operate. But our supply chain management can nonetheless manage that. If we are able to stick to our business plan timeframes, then we plan for that dead period, and then it's not a problem. But the moment it gets concertinaed because of some decisions, as we had last year, that compound the period of time, then of course there will be challenges in the capacity to do so. In terms of monitoring, we also believe, another question you asked, that we are able to monitor effectively. We have the monitoring by one district official in the schools in their districts, and the regular reports are received. The different officials know the accountability and the responsibility. The principals are aware of it. They are informed and brief on that matter. And in terms of the monthly reporting also, those are in place. We've never had a challenge with our reporting either to the National Department or to our Provincial Treasury. I think that is also quite appropriate. So in summation, Chair, we believe that our business plan outputs we are able to reach, and we will do so this year. Last year was an exceptional year, and we tried to explain what the reason for that was. We are, of course, not happy with the fact that we could not make it according to our original plan in the time frames, but there is a sound reason for it. And we believe it will lead to more accountable procurement. It will certainly be smiled upon, if you like, by the Auditor General, because the processes are more easily traceable and clear. But what is as important for us is the fact that we need to make sure that we are able to deliver and to deliver on time on the grant. Our funding will be spent, and it will be spent within the business plan of the conditional grant.
Thank you very much, sir. Questions, honourable members, honourable Joseph, honourable Mashile, honourable Liz, in that order.
Thank you, honourable Chair. May I proceed?
Yes, proceed, sir.
Thank you. I just want to confirm the 82.1%. So if we, in a month or two or 3 months' time, draw the stats on all the provinces of what they have spent, what will the Western Cape show, 48% or 82.01%? That's just basically what I would like to know, because you have placed that orders before the end of the financial year, and will it then reflect as part of the end of the financial year? Thank you, Honourable Chair.
You need to ask that of the finance people, because my understanding is the books get closed on a given date. And committed funding does not reflect in the financial year if it is not spent by the closing of the books. Therefore, what we are saying is that we will spend 82% because it's committed funding, but we have to request rollover for that funding. So I would imagine it would reflect in the next financial year.
Honorable Masile. Just note the questions, and then once they have all.
Sure. I thought we were going to have a debate. Chairperson, I think I really had a serious interest in the comment of, I think it's the MEC. Yeah, the last comment of the MEC. I really have a special interest in that comment because I was trying to draw some sort of a conclusion out of that comment, and which then to me it says we don't need this grant. But that is not what the official is saying, because he's asking us, you know, not to really worry about this under expenditure. And then he says, no, look at our performance, ANA metric, and you know, it's the percentage passes on that, and indicating that no, we are doing very well without even spending on this grant. He was actually saying it is not important, this grant, and we can do better without even spending on it. And I really have a problem with that view, because surely one understands that there are schools that require this grant in Western Cape, and to actually improve their pass rate or their performance in these related matters. And I just wanted to really put that particular point clear, because that last statement he said, and I really had a problem with it. But Chair, as much as we accept the issue of commitments, but there is an inherent problem with commitments. People running left and right on the deadlines or the end of the financial year just to make sure that they put hands on the money, that the money doesn't disappear. That can't be a thing that really we can stand on top of the mountain and really celebrate, rejoice, and be happy about it. Because there are two things out of commitments that you can draw. One is that you have actually suspended expenditure or delivery of services in a particular year and push it into the next year. Politically, you have suspended delivery of services that was supposed to be done in this particular year, and then you delayed it and say, no, you guys, you'll get it next year. Number two, the capacity that you have in the department to spend the allocated funds in that particular year, and then start having a problem because now you must add the work that was supposed to have been done last year. It now have to be done together with this year. Does the department have the capacity to do that? Then it brings in another problem. But for me as a politician, my main worry is just simply delaying delivery of services to people on the year that we have decided that delivery must be made. And then you say, no, I'll do it next year. And that is a problem politically to me. And also it's a problem on service delivery on its own. The job that you want to do in 2013, and then we have got officials that because of their non-performance, then they actually push that work to be done in 2014. And we have had, I mean, it's, as he has indicated, constraints, capacity constraints is a general thing at all spheres of government. But now, if you get 10 million this year, then you bring in 3 million or 2 million from last year, then you want to do it all of them this year. Do you have the capacity to do that? If we had a problem the previous year of actually responding to issues that related to capacity problems, then I think this is how one should read the problem and then request Western Cape that simply to improve and ensure that we don't necessarily need to have all these other problems of finding ourselves spending
quite a good number of minutes explaining why we have not done things. At least next year when we meet, or next quarter we meet, we spend this time explaining why we have done well. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to the two presenters. I was kind of doing some calculations. This is a relatively small grant. I think, is it 9 million or thereabouts? And then we have two people dedicated to this function, then the district people who are doing it. What is the actual cost of implementing or spending this 9 million? And is it taken out of the 9 million? So when, you know, Honorable Mashila actually asked, sort of made the point about whether the grant actually is serving a great purpose. I'm sure some benefit must be coming out of it. But in your opinion, should this then not simply be part of your normal education budget, rather than having to set up a completely separate administration which has its own costs and therefore reduces the impact of the expenditure at school level, which is obviously where we want the biggest impact. So a comment on your views about that. With regard to rollovers and spending, yeah, I think it's unfortunate that very often we hear the same kind of explanations but don't see the results in the following year. So I'm hoping that that won't be the case here, that indeed the commitments you're making will come to fruition, and we don't actually have to ask you to come back to tell us how well you've done, because that I don't think we generally do. But I certainly don't look forward to hearing another, that you haven't done so well. But particularly the issue of the quality of the spend of this money, is it really achieving what it sets out to?
Any further questions? None. I just want to understand if there was any impact on learner and teacher performance as a result of the delays that you experienced in the spending patterns, and also perhaps this one is more directed to the national department. What is the actual measuring tool, other than just waiting for year-end results or quarterly results of students? And this is directed more on the teachers themselves. How do you measure them once you have offered this training that they are now up to standard with regard to imparting such knowledge with the learners? Because I would assume that learners, you will assess them through their monthly or quarterly tests and examinations at the end of the year. But I see that in terms of the business plans of most provinces, their reporting is more about the resources than the actual performance of both learners and teachers. So my question is based on that. You may respond. And for the Western Cape, these weekly reports that are drawn up for the directorate, how do they relate to this report that gets supplied from schools? And the final monthly report that you submit to National Treasury or National Department? Let's take the National Department first.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, and good morning, members of the committee. My name is David Silman. I'm the Department of Basic Education manager for the Dinaledi unit that was established in August of last year. There are a number of issues that have been raised, and I would like to address them so that I can address your concerns. There are I think you'd like me to deal with specifically the measurement issue that you just raised about the assessment of the efficacy of the various programs, specifically with reference to teacher training.
Mm.
Can I begin there?
Mm.
Okay. This has been a major deficiency in the execution and the management of the grant, and I speak from the National Department side. There has been very, very little done in the way of baseline assessment to see where teachers are in terms of their content knowledge. There's a huge degree of resistance, and I think a quick review of the press will pick this up. In terms of assessing what teachers know, it's a very difficult process, and it hasn't basically been done in a widespread fashion. There's been, according to the reports, and I'm talking about the history prior to my coming on board, there is no history of any assessments, baseline assessments, being done in terms of pupils' levels of achievement during the course of the past 2 years of the grant's existence. And so there are no baseline numbers, with the exception of the grade 12 exit results, which is a huge problem. To deal with this particular issue, what I have proposed to my provincial colleagues is that we have a nationwide assessment system, a diagnostic and remedial system, which I have sourced, and it's a locally homegrown product. It requires that the IT infrastructure is present in the schools, and this is specific to the mathematics issue. That's where we need to begin. We need to know where we are before we can move. And frankly, I'll be blunt, I'm not a politician, I'm afraid. I think that the difference between the national averages and the averages generated by those schools in the Dinaledi program is nowhere near commensurate with the amount of money that has been spent. And I believe that it is entirely possible that it can make a huge difference. And if I can follow on from that, simply to say with reference to the Western Cape, I came down to the Western Cape and met with the provincial colleagues, the two managers in the province, and I'm not taking a defensive position on anybody's behalf. It was very, very concerning to see that there was no spending happening. But there's a rider to that, and it's a but, and it is this. The fact that the province has taken a step back and gone back to the basics, which is the needs analyses, which were never done in any of the provinces. So the schools, how one supplies anything to a school without knowing what the needs are is beyond me. That has not been done, or had not been done to date. Western Cape has now done that, and in terms of making sense of procurement on an economically sensible, in an economically sensible way, and looking at actual costs, frankly, I have to commend the Western Cape for having done so. It was a very, very dangerous thing to do, to say we're not spending anything. And there were consequences, obviously, because funds were withheld, obviously because there was nothing to spend the money on, because all these processes were in place. I came down to Cape Town in late January, early February, and I saw the work that had been done by my provincial colleagues, and it was impressive. They've done an enormous amount of work. I'm not standing here making excuses, but I have to say to this committee that I would, from where I'm sitting, I would prefer to see a considered, almost ponderous process being put in place where the public's money is not going to be wasted, rather than look at a figure on a piece of paper that says, oh, well, this province spent 100% of the allocation and closed the book. That makes no sense to me, because I've seen it, and that disturbs me even more. So I think that while it, again, I'm expressing an opinion, you can probably shoot me down. A lot of the work that has been done in the past 7 or 8 months ought to have been done long ago, in perhaps the year that the grant was conceived. be that as it may, it has now been done for this particular province. And I think that the work that has been done, I think this province definitely needs this grant. There's no question. From the schools that I've visited in the townships just outside Cape Town, the funds are needed, and the focus on the maths and science is needed. It's an absolute national requirement. This thing needs to be expanded, and it needs to be expanded down the grades and into the primary schools, and it needs funding, and we need extra focus. That's it. I hope I've addressed that particular issue of the assessment. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thanks. If I may, the question of the impact and what it costs to deliver the service itself from the business planning process side and evaluation side. When we prepare business plans for approval by the DG, the National Treasury, we submit together with that what you call a compliance certificate. That is like a driver's license to say you are going to be driving this vehicle, therefore you are competent and qualified to drive the vehicle. So in one of the clauses that is in the compliance certificate, we indicate to the province that when you deliver Naledi schools as a grant, do not create a necessary administrative burden on the province, because we know the province has got other responsibilities as well. So we do ensure through the compliance certificate that we don't create unnecessary duplication, for instance, so that it becomes expensive to deliver the service. So in most cases, in most provinces, it's on the expertise and the resources already existent in the province itself. That's how we try and look at that side, not to waste money unnecessarily. Thank you, honourable members.
Are you saying so far, particularly in terms of training of teachers on content and knowledge, money has just been spent and you are not sure as to whether it has done any good or bad, but we just keep on spending and spending. And with regard to this commendable work that you have just alluded to as done by Western Cape, what is the situation with regard to all other remaining provinces? Just an overview of that.
Honourable Chair, the answer to your question is yes. We, from where I sit, the information that I would want to have, I do not have. The provinces ought to have done these assessments of the teachers that have been targeted for extra training. And those assessments just don't exist to the best of my knowledge. I've asked for them, and I don't see them. So have I misunderstood your question? No, I'm just not sure what to do because you're stopping me. Yeah. In the other, in the overall situation is that the pre-assessment of teachers has not been done. I have to say that that's a general observation. Depending on the service providers that have done work, and there are some excellent service providers, and there are some very poor ones. The cheapest is best kind of story, and they do absolutely nothing, and they're a waste of money. That's my experience of seeing that field. But there are excellent ones, and some excellent work has been done. And I do have some reports of where work has been done that is very worthwhile. But you asked a general question, so I'm giving you a general answer, which is inadequate assessment, pre-assessment and post-testing is inadequate, and it needs to be done. Could I add something, please, about the cost issue? One of the problems that besetting this grant is the staffing issue. And what has happened in all the provinces is that people have had the function of Dinaledi bolted on to pre-existing functions. And I'm again talking generally, not specifically Western Cape. They haven't been able to cope because they've had another workload. And one of the grant conditions was that people ought to be appointed. It wasn't specified that they are dedicated staff, though. So they've had this function added on, and those who could cope can't because of the overload. One of the things that is coming now, it's in the framework now for 13-14, is that the National Department will appoint a provincial manager for the grant in each province, so that some of that load is taken off the provincial officials, and the distribution of information and the collection of information is actually under the purview of one person in that province, who will obviously interact with provincial officials who have been working with it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chairperson, it is important that this unit gets right, because if it doesn't get right, we'll continue and have all these challenges in province. You know, Chair, one would like to understand how do they manage in their unit to report on the work they are doing. To whom are they reporting as a unit, Chairperson? And also one expects that this unit is supposed to have done its own business plan, own controls of the outputs that are expected out of this particular program. The issues of those assessments that we are hearing from other provinces that they have not been done, or they are not done, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In terms of the plans of the unit, when are they intending to get those things done in the provinces so that they are able to measure progress on the outputs of this particular conditional grant? This is what, you know, Mr. Chair, this was my first question when National Treasury was reporting and telling us that this unit has been established. I was not aware that there is a unit manager here. And I heard this particular question on the reporting of that unit, because it is now going to be very critical to really see exactly the plans of this unit, how it intends to do its work, and how it intends to also monitor and measure progress on all the objectives of the particular program. And how are they reporting? Are they reporting to the department? And how are we actually going to see the report on the performance of that unit as well as the provincial departments on this particular grant? Because surely we should have had a report from him early, after the National Treasury. I think he should have actually given us what is it that he has done before he even got to Western Cape. Because his work is the one that is going to impact on what the provinces are going to do. And unless that unit gets sorted out in terms of its business plan, its resources, and also its tools of measuring what happens in terms of the objectives of this grant, then we'll always have these problems with the provincial departments. Thanks, sir.
Chairperson, I'm very concerned. If you look at the budget allocation for education nationally, and we listen to what we've listened this morning, I'm very concerned. If you look at the national development plans and the priorities referring to education, then I propose, Chairperson, that we call back the national department, as the Honourable Mashile said, to come and do a full presentation, and in that meeting, National Treasury be present, as well as the provincial departments of education. Otherwise, we're just throwing money at the department, and in actual fact, the teachers are not measured. What are they delivering? It doesn't make sense. In private business, it doesn't work that way. So that's my input, sir. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Just to get back to the Western Cape issues, the grant, the Naledi grant is 105.5 million, of which the Western Cape gets 9 million. It's a relatively small grant. It's small in financial terms, but the potential impact in the Western Cape is huge. The potential impact for maths and science, which is the national priority and is also a Western Cape priority, is huge. Not only has the Naledi, is it able to support the province in what it needs to do, and I made I alluded to earlier to the fact that we are trying to reach learners in communities that have not had good maths and science teaching in the past. And it is doing that. It's making slow progress over slow years, I think, and we will see that in the Western Cape it will accelerate. So the question that I think was asked initially, do we need the funding, the answer is yes. Even though it's only 9 million, we would love more because our ability to do more is important. I take the member's comment or criticism, if you like, that you hear commitments all the time and then it doesn't come to fruition. And of course, the intention of an annual grant is that you spend the money in the financial year. But we feel that in this given year, for the reasons that we'd given, we were not wasting time or wasting money. And these particular commitments in this year, and I also think you must judge it in the context of our track record. Our track record is not one of not spending and not one of wasting money, and also being able to ensure that it is used for the purpose that it is used. And so we do have the capacity, and I take the point that if you now spend 9 million and you didn't spend it in the time, and you're now going to have 3 million rollover and you're going to have another 9 million next year, can you do it? The answer is yes, because those 3 million is committed. It's committed, its orders already out, its delivery, all that needs to be done for that is monitoring that it is delivered and used for what it needs to be used. It's not still needing functionality in the next financial year. So we will continue to strive not to have rollovers. We will continue to strive to deliver what needs to be done in the space. And in my view, from being an educator and an official, I believe we will do that in the next financial year, and we will also deliver on what we need to do. The question that you made about the capacity is not the principal issue that led in this past year to our delay in spending. And whilst capacity is always a constraint, we actually manage our capacity appropriately in our province. The principal reason for the delay was the procurement process, which changed mid-year, and we believe to the benefit of the process. So it's in that context that we think the capacity is manageable, and particularly if we are ensuring that the time constraints for the delivery does not compound a concertina into a given time due to late change in processes, and that will be in place this year. Member Luce asked the question about the cost of spending. Now, in our case, it's such a small amount. We do not spend a significant amount on salaries or admin for that component. The two officials that manage it at head office are two head office officials, appointed head office officials. And the district officials do it as an add-on. They are either FET coordinators or they are maths and science curriculum advisors in the districts. And so we consider it to be part of their job in advising and managing science and mathematics in the districts. It is, in a sense, an add-on, but it's not additional funding that goes into that. And so the quality of the spend is almost all on resources. Where the chair is correct, though, is that if you take a look at the business plan outputs for this grant, a lot of it is on resourcing, and it's got to do with the fact that for many years we have had resource constraints and resource shortages, particularly in the field of maths and science, and particularly in those schools serving our poorest communities. The teacher training is a very small component of that. So we believe that the quality of spend is appropriate. The check very correctly asked, how do we measure the impact on learning and teacher performance? In our province, and it's a difficult thing to do, and as all of you will know, you're not necessarily educationists, but you will know that educational impact delivery is a long-term process. It works through the system. And sometimes we want short-term solutions, and it's not so easy to get. We have a number of measurables. The one is more learners taking maths and science. It's a key critical output, and all that in the lady schools have targets to enhance that. And you can't do that in grade 12. You have to do that in grade 10. Because of the phase. And what is more, you actually have to catch the kids in grade 8 and 9, beginning of high school. And for that, you have to make sure that their maths and science performance and ability levels, competencies, are enhanced in the primary school. And in our province, we have a literacy and numeracy strategy that, in fact, enhances that. We've had it launched since 2006, and we test annually. And annually, we've had improvements in the performance of learners. So we're building on the foundations going up. But the question, and so it's measurable, and in this last year, and it's not to counter Member Masieli's comment that it means you don't need the grant because you did better. In this last year, our numbers did improve, and our performance in maths and science at the matric level, at the output level, did improve. But we believe it improved because it is a sustained system and strategy that we're doing, of which the Naledi is a critical part. The Naledi funds of 1 year doesn't suddenly make the difference. We've had the Naledi grant over a number of years, and we've put in the training and the resources over years. We think it's starting to show the requirements that we have. And the fact that we didn't deliver in the particular year has not got a negative impact on the system because it's still delivered. I mean, a financial year is a very artificial thing. And if we haven't managed to deliver it in February or March, but it's delivered in April. It hasn't got an output impact in that context. And then finally, maybe just I'd like to say that you also asked about how, if any, teachers are measurable. Now, we have in our province an in-service training institute called the Cape Teaching and Leadership Institute. It's a WCED institute where we take teachers out of school, we give substitutes in for a number of weeks, and we train them in that. And all courses that we offer there, and not all our training is done there, but all courses that are done there, the program is expecting a pre-test and a post-test at the beginning and after. So we do have indications of improvement of teacher skills and capacity. That, however, doesn't mean that learning or teaching in the classroom necessarily shows the same degree, but at least it's showing teacher competency improvement, teacher knowledge improvement, and some teacher methodology improvement. And our districts then must go into the classroom, and this is why classroom visitation is critical for us, to mentor and to support the teacher in the classroom so that their cognitive development and improvement actually leads to improved teaching in the classroom. It's one of our strategies. We have also in the Western Cape, as I indicated, a maths and science strategy, which we launched last year. Then the Naledi is an integral part of that strategy, and so the funding is definitely needed. And I think, Chair, the last thing that was asked was how the reports fit in. We have weekly reports. The weekly reports are the management reports of the unit that's managing it, but we have monthly reports from the schools that get collated through the district into a monthly report that is sent to both Provincial Treasury and to DBE.
Chair, thank you. And to Brian Schroeder for clarification of a whole lot of issues. There are just two issues I'd like to add. We have an eight-year program to recapacitate teachers. We are in year five of that program. We spend, my memory is correct, 125 million rand a year, Brian. I think when I came into office, it was less than 10 million. So I believe in spending money where you're going to get traction on the rubber hitting the road, and that is the capacity of our teachers. And that is what we're spending it on, and it is a long-term project. And starting with, obviously, the rollout of the CAPS, which we are following very, very carefully. And it's very much a work in progress, which we monitor. And the biggest difficulty for us is this issue about making sure that where teachers are taking out of service for intensive training, that when they put back into the classroom, that we measure the impact in the classrooms. That is why we have a school improvement program in the Western Cape, which is for every grade and every subject, supported by a comprehensive IT system. And these targets are set by the principal of the school with their HODs, and it is reviewed, obviously, by the circuitry managers, the IMGs, and the subject advisors, and then endorsed at the district level, and then collated back to our provincial targets. So what I'm saying is that this is not hit and miss. This is a very soundly structured program to enhance education outcomes in the medium to long term. Thank you. And if I can just say to the Honourable Masieli, I certainly, if I created that impression to the committee, let me apologize for that. But I certainly did not intend your inference that we did not need that grant. We need every rand we can get to improve education outcomes. I just want to state that for the record.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. Just to add that, you know, the issue around teachers is very crucial. As a department, we have produced a diagnostic report, which we produced after the results were released, where our math and science subject specialists looked at item analysis of learner scripts and identified gaps that, you know, emerged from the various scripts. And we have a diagnostic report whereby from the diagnostic report we have developed a remedial plan of saying in mathematics these are the gaps and what teachers need to do, you know, to say specifically to say in calculus this is what teachers need to do. And when we looked at all the patterns that were showing from the math and even science, we found that the foundational skills were the ones that were lacking. The issue around language, you know, how teachers taught, issues of pedagogy and methodology, issues of lack of content knowledge, this is what we have identified. And what we have done as a department from February until last month, we've been going around provinces doing road shows where we met subject advisors, where we met circuit managers to say to them, shared with them the gaps and what teachers need to do to say when they deal with teacher training, they need to take these core challenges and what teachers need to do, because specifically we have identified what teachers need to know and what needs to be done. And we've also shared this plan with our child development unit, and they meet with deans of education departments to say in their programs when they do in-service training and pre-service, this is what they need to concentrate on, because, you know, if they don't understand the core concepts and issues that teachers are battling with, then we've got a problem. And what we've also done, we've asked provinces to send us dates when they meet with their subject committees and their cluster or lead teachers. We are now going to send our subject specialists to these cluster meetings to say, you've identified the core issues and engage with the teachers, the lead teachers, and the subject specialists in the provinces. We've also working on a DVD, because one of the things that we have identified is the issue of the practicals. Some of the schools, most of the schools do have equipment, do have consumables, but they don't know how, teachers don't know how to do practicals. And we have realized that this is a gap. And you know, with maths and science, if you don't do practicals, you know, most learners, you know, learn by doing. Experiential learning is so important. So this is what we will be doing. And even in the past, we've produced DVDs that we want to replicate and distribute to teachers. We've developed self-study guides where we've actually shown teachers step-by-step on how to teach particular concepts. So we're doing, well, you know, we're trying to mediate the gaps that teachers have in terms of both pre-service and in-service. In the pre-service, we've got the Funza Lushaka brothers that the department has, you know, is providing to all the youngsters who are, you know, inclined to want to become teachers and teach math and science. And there's a proposal that says we also need to have lab assistants identify those matriculants who have done math and science who can actually assist in labs and also teacher assistants. But just to share some of the interventions that we've put in place as a DBE. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, all members. Just a follow-up to say, we need to appreciate the input suggestions that the committee has put forward. We also have our own diagnostic tools, like the colleague has said, but we promised and we are going to deliver on what we call an inter-provincial workshop on the 31st of May. We will have all 9 provinces coming to Pretoria, and amongst what you call the 3 pillars of planning, we'll be discussing business planning process for the following year. On the accounting side, we'll be talking quarterly reports. On the enabling side, we'll be talking the grant framework, and that will also include the inputs that the committee has also shared with us today. For that, we are very grateful. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much from both the provincial department and national department.
That was Western Cape. We have received those apologies from Limpopo and Northwest, unfortunately, and this then brings us to the end of this meeting. But I think we'll then expect that report that we requested, that the one that we'll be receiving on the 15th, Mr. Sishi. If you could just favor us with that copy, and we'll see if time permitting, we'll also have a follow-up meeting with the National Department, not only on this specific issue, but on other issues that are standing from that department. There's a number of things that the department should still appear before us on, so we'll also include this one, but we'll communicate that well in time. And let me take this opportunity to thank all for your participation and attendance to this meeting, and at this moment I will suspend this proceeding, so this meeting is adjourned, and thank you very much for your time.